So if you have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think we have a service tonight at 6:30, is that right? Next Sunday, I don't think we have a service on Sunday night next week, because we have a combined service at the Baptist Church, is that right? Yeah. All right. They've got a guest speaker there, so you'll be really blessed if you come to the service Sunday night next week. Hallelujah. Hey, we are speaking on the gifts of the Spirit. So we'll just say some more stuff about that, some more things. My intention was just to get through the gifts, and then that was it. But sometimes the Lord does not want you to rush through these things. So we've camped there for a little while. I hope you've enjoyed the camp. And we haven't been here consistently every Sunday, so it's taken us a little while to get through it, but it's very much necessary that we understand that. The Bible says concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, that I do not want you to be ignorant. So we don't want to be ignorant of that. We want to be schooled in that. We want to understand that. And we want to be able to function in that, not just at church, but at home. Hallelujah. I remember one time a lady brought a lady. She was a member of the church, and she brought a friend, and she was in a real mess. And we just sat down and talked, and when we finished talking, she got outside and she just took off. She ran, and she said to her friend, who's a member of the church, said, "Why didn't you tell me that your pastor reads people's minds?" She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Before I say anything, he'll tell me everything I was thinking." Well, I wasn't reading her mind. I was just talking to her. And it's just the way the Lord does. And, you know, it's nice. And she was scared spitless. But in the end, I think she got saved. She did get saved. Hallelujah. And we were talking on the gifts of the vocal gifts. But before we get there this morning, let me just reiterate some things from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit has 9 gifts, and all the gifts are supernatural. None of them is natural. So when the Bible says a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, that is not very good knowledge of the Bible. It's not very intimate knowledge of God. You can have that without the gift of the Spirit. But the gift of the Spirit is an impartation at a moment where God reveals something, like a word of knowledge, which always refers to history, from here to the past. The word of wisdom always refers to the future. Sometimes in the church, people, because the gifts of the Spirit are complete and are one, it's very difficult sometimes to define when you see the operation of the gifts where one stops and the other one starts, because they mold together. Hallelujah. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, there was about 4 gifts involved. And you can't you're trying to define which one stops and where the other one starts. It's difficult, but we divide them so that we can understand them. Sometimes people think that the word of knowledge is the same as the word of wisdom. It's just past and future. And you have that come into the church. And that's fine if you understand what it's about. They said a word of knowledge is anything that's revealed. And a word of wisdom tells you how to fix stuff. No, that's not correct. The word of wisdom has to do with the plan and the purpose of God. Natural wisdom dictates how you fix something. This is the word of wisdom. You can actually have a word of knowledge of something that needs to be fixed and then fix it with natural wisdom, which is how you do stuff, all right? And natural wisdom comes from God or comes from the devil. James said the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable and easy to be entreated, which means that you can discuss it. Some people are so hard, they are unbending as steel. The wisdom that comes from above can actually be dialogued. It's easy to be entreated. The wisdom that comes from down here, as the Bible says, is devilish and causes strife. And then the Bible says, everywhere you find strife, there is every evil work. So don't get into strife. Are you all right? But the word of wisdom is a fragmentation of the wisdom of God that has to do with the plans and the purpose of God for somebody. So when a prophet or somebody gives you if you do this, this, and this, it has to do with your future. This is what God wants you to do. And then get into it and see that you merge into the plan of God for your life. Are you all right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. And then we look at the power gifts, the gift of faith and working of miracles. And the gift of faith is the power of God that is imparted to you, the faith of God. When that faith comes, you will say things you would not normally say. Are you all right? And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say, but when that faith comes and you say stuff to people that you would not normally say, and the miracle will happen. Are you all right? So we said that primarily the gift of faith is passive. The faith that we live by is have works added to it. James said, if show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith with my works. And he said, Abraham, when he offered Isaac, was doing some work and through that perfects his faith. But the gift of faith is passive. You don't have to do anything. God may get you to say something, but the gift of faith receives a miracle. The working of miracles is the gift of faith where you actually perform the miracle. One receives something from God, the other you do something through God, but you do it. All right? Now, sometimes when people are said, get out of the wheelchair, sometimes you have to get them out of the wheelchair yourself. We had an evangelist come here some years ago, and he moved in a lot of healing and miracles. And the funny thing is, naturally, he reeks inferiority. He said, Pastor, you think we should do this? I said, yeah. He said, what if nobody gets healed? The funny thing, just about everybody he prays for gets healed. And then he said, shall we do this service? We've had services since Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He said, you think we should do this service? Can we cancel it? I said, why? He said, I don't know if people will come. Now, he moved in the miraculous, but within his own personality, he was very inferior. And we have a running argument with him during the week that he was here. And I said, listen, we're going to have the service, okay? We've already advertised it. He said, are you sure, Pastor? Are you sure? I said, yeah. The last service, somebody walked out of the wheelchair. And yet he was, shall we do it? I said, hello? And when he prayed for this person, and then he grabbed the person walked out, and the person came in the wheelchair with an oxygen bottle, and the person walked out of here pushing his wheelchair. But when he prayed for the guy, he pulled the guy up. And the guy got up and he got up. Now, sometimes you can call out a healing and somebody will receive a healing. Sometimes you call a healing and then You help them get healed. Don't get the super spiritual, like, what if God's done it? He's going to do it, you know. Bless your darling heart and stupid head. All right? Sometimes you have to help people. And that's why sometimes we linked our experience to somebody else's experience in the past. Because in linking that helps our faith. If God did it for Abraham, he can do it for me. If God did it for Daniel, he can do it for me. So Daniel had a gift of faith where he just received a miracle. And when he went into the lion's den, he just took over the lion's den. The lions were subject to him. He didn't have to kill any lion. He's just there, and all the lions, that's faith. Now, if you threw, what's the name of the guy? Samson in there. Samson will be, they'll both be miracles, but one received a miracle, the gift of faith. The other was the working of miracles, because Samson will just slaughter every lion in the place. But that helps you to understand the gift of faith and the gift of the working of miracles. And then healing. Some people carry the gift of healing. Some people don't. But every now and again, God may give you that. Because the Bible says the Spirit gives the gift to each one as he desires for the benefit of all. So you may not have a gift of healing normally, but the Holy Spirit will give you a gift of healing to pray for somebody. And when you finish, you know. So expect God to do things like that. Now, having said that, let me say this just for the benefit of everybody, because otherwise you're going to, A lot of times, the revelation gifts, the prophet carries them, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, they have to carry that in order for them to stand in the office of a prophet. So consistently, they will manifest those gifts, because those gifts come with their office. If they don't have those gifts, they're not a prophet. They may prophesy, but they're not a prophet. Are you all right? Now, if you have a chance and you're able to go back and you find a tape that we shared about 4 or 5 years ago about the motivation, the gift, and the office. The motivation as a prophet, the gift of prophecy, and the office of the prophet. Now, you can be born with a motivational gift of a prophet, but you may not prophesy. But you have eyes and ears of a prophet. You are black and white, and hopefully you will marry somebody with a mercy gift. Because if you marry somebody with the same motivational gift, God help us. That's why prophets don't pastor the church. That's why pastors pastor the church. Prophets don't pastor the church because they see things and they'll tell you. And most churches that are pastored by prophets are empty. Because they see things and they hear things and they tell you everything. Hello? Are you all right? Is this okay? Now, the evangelist will most often carry the power gifts because of what they do. And they go behind the enemy lines like a paratrooper that you drop behind the enemy lines. And they do their work, that they function there. And they can't function there without the power gifts. So primarily, the Bible says there are diversity of gifts, but one Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but one Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but one God. So you've got a ministry that is pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, whatever. All right. You've got a ministry. There are diversities of ministries, but one Lord. So the ministry can take the gift and activate it. Gifts, ministries, activities. Verse 4, read it. All right. Let me read it for you. Give me a Bible. This is the NIV. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service or ministries, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God. Now, the evangelists always, almost always carry those power gifts. The prophet carries the revelation gifts. Are you all right? The pastor, the other guys, it's other guys and girls, all right? Each, any one of us can operate in those gifts as the Spirit wills. But when you stand in that particular office of that particular ministry, you almost always, as a prophet, carry the revelation gifts. As an evangelist, carry the power gifts. Pastors often carry the vocal gifts because they talk too much in the church and things like that. But that doesn't mean that the others can't do that. Are you all right? Now, we shared before. Let me share it again. I'm just doing some stuff and then I'll preach a little bit, okay, before we finish, all right? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are gifts of Jesus Christ. There are diversities of ministry, but one Lord. All right. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, are gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has 9 gifts. Jesus has 5. The Father has 2. You say, what? Well, the Father gave the Son and the Holy Ghost. The 2 that the Father gave are divine persons. The 5 that Jesus gave are human persons. The 9 that the Holy Spirit gives are manifestations of who God is. So the ministries can take the Holy Ghost gifts and manifest them for the glory of God the Father, God the Son. The Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will glorify me, Jesus said. So every time the Holy Spirit moves, He glorifies Jesus. He doesn't glorify the guy that's operating the gifts. You are a donkey where the Lord sits on which the Lord sits on. And you bring the Lord to the people. The donkey bring the Lord to the people. And when they came and worshipped him, they didn't come to worship the donkey. They came and threw their garments and palm leaves on the road and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. They didn't come to say Hosanna to the donkey. You may be the donkey, but you bring the presence and the glory of God to the people. So the people can glorify Jesus. And every time the Spirit moves and you take the gifts of the Spirit as a minister, because we are all ministers, aren't we? You take the gifts of the Spirit as a minister and manifest those gifts for the benefit of others, the Lord is glorified. Is this all right? Hallelujah. All right. So we said, how do you get the gifts? Well, you earnestly desire. David said when he saw the deer, he said, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after thee. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever seen a deer hungry for water? Because when the deer is hungry for water, he can smell water. His nostrils are enlarged. And he comes to the water at the peril of his life. because the lion is at the water. There are no lions in Jerusalem, in Israel anymore, all been taken out, but there were lions there, and they hang around the Jordan River so that when people come to draw water, they've got something to eat. So the lion goes to the water waiting for the deer to come to the water. The hunter also goes to the water waiting for the deer. So the hunter, and they're both hunters. One is human, the other is an animal, all right? The deer has to get to the water for two things, to drink and to dive in, to bathe. Because the smell of the deer is in the nostrils of the lion. And the deer had to dive in the water to lose his scent. And you need to dive into the water of the Word of God to lose the scent, because the devil is out to sniff you around, all right? It's like a roaring lion, come seek whom he may devour. He may. He didn't say he may. The only power the devil has is the power you give to him. But you need to dive into the Word of God to lose your own scent as a human being. So that when you come out, all he can smell is the smell of the water of the Word of God. But you lose your scent. You lose your scent in the water. So when the deer comes to the water, and we shared about that before, I'm just sharing that for the benefit of some of you that have not heard that before. But the deer comes to the water because if the water level of the deer goes lower than what it should be, there's a whole heap of things. His vision is blurred. Is your vision blurred? Get into the Word. There are certain things in his physicality that will happen because he needs water. So he comes to the water for the benefit of his own body. It comes to the water to drink and comes to the water to dive. So he has to be smarter than the lion and the hunter. But Paul said, we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And then he said, regarding spiritual gifts, brethren, don't be ignorant. Same thing. So he has to be smarter than the lion and the hunter. So many times the deer will walk into the river and hide from the hunter, and he will drink and dive in. And sometimes the deer will walk backward and take exactly the same footsteps that he took walking in. Why does he do that? So that if the hunter or the lion can come across the footsteps, they go, oh, he's gone that way, not knowing that he's gone that way because he's walked backward. He's very, very smart. And sometimes he'll walk backward into the river, making the lion think that he's gone, but he walked back and then he dives and comes out the other side of the river. David watches this animal as a shepherd, and he saw it and he began to cry and he said, oh God, as the deer panteth for water, let my soul long for you. How do you get the gifts? You pant for the gifts like you're panting for water. You know this. You don't have to earn the gifts. That's why you don't have to be super spiritual to have the gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts. Some people say, I have to be very, very pure. You will be amazed at some of the people that use the gifts. Talk to Samson. I mean, that guy, when you get to heaven, you ask him, how did you manage to do it, you twit? But he teaches us a lesson that somehow, even though, I mean, he went from one disaster to another to another, and yet every time he repents and calls out to God, God just turned up. And even when he had no eyes and called out to God, he said, God, for my two eyes now, I'm absolutely convinced. If Samson had asked God for two eyes instead of the strength to pull down the building, God would have given him two eyes. He just seemed to have that kind of faith. And even though he makes a real mess of this situation, when he gets up, He repents, and he said, God, are you all right, God? Why? Because they're gifts. Now, this is the sad part, and it will scare you. If you have a gift of healing or working of miracles, you can actually work miracles and sin at the same time and still perform miracles. That's scary. Why? Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And somebody that has been imparted with a gift of that nature may sin all night like Samson in Gaza and get up and pick up the whole gates of the city and walk uphill with him. Are you all right? So how do you get, you desire them. And sometimes they come to us through impressions, a spiritual, you just know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Sometimes it comes through our thoughts. If you understand, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You say, well, you have the mind of Christ. And sometimes when you learn to operate and move into that, a lot of times words of knowledge and word wisdom will come through your thoughts. Sometimes they'll come through open vision. Or they'll come through vision where you see something. You see a picture in your mind. And often, now you say, how can I differentiate? Well, do it. You'll soon find out which is which. How do I know which is my thoughts and which is his thoughts? Do it. Experiment. You mean to tell me you experiment with it? Yeah, because you're not God. You don't know everything perfectly all at once. That's why when you get baptized in the Spirit and you speak in tongues, sometimes you could just get two syllables. I got a friend. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and all he got is one syllable. And he said it was almost embarrassing. But he did that for 5 months, and after 5 months, he began to flow like rivers in tongues. You don't, sometimes you may speak it fluently, sometimes you don't. But like any other language, you don't learn someone fluently when I can lay hands on you fluently, and you will not speak Samoan fluently. You will just have to learn. And sometimes tongues is the same. Are you okay? So you get it through desiring. And then Paul said, earnestly desire the best gifts. What is the best gift? Well, it's the gift that you need for the moment. If the person needs healing, a message in tongues and interpretation is not going to heal them. They need a gift of healing. All right? Is this okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. And then he said, I show you a more excellent way. So the more excellent way, the better way, is love. And then he said this, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that's the gifts, the vocal gifts. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So he said, I can operate the vocal gifts, but if I operate them without love for the people and for God, you're a clanging cymbal. And then you come to understand what Paul said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I said, what? You can function in the gifts of the Spirit, not have the Spirit of Christ. What is the Spirit of Christ? Laying down your life for others. That's the Spirit of Christ. So when you learn to move in love, Paul said, that's a better way. Paul did not say we don't need the gifts because we've got love. He said, the better way to operate, you can desire, but the better way to operate and move into the gifts of the Spirit is moving in love because God is love, all right? And then he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, that's revelation gifts, all right? They reveal things because he's talking about prophetic utterances and that. And then he says, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I could remove mountains. So he's talking about the vocal gifts, the revelation gifts, and the power gifts. And he said, if I don't have love, I can still do it. But it profits me nothing. It may profit the people because the gifts of the Spirit profit the church. But you that deliver the gifts, it'll profit you nothing. Why? Because you don't love people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you go through the love, and this is what I didn't share with you the last time. You know, the Bible says there are 9 gifts and there are 9 fruits. Are you all right? There's only one fruit. The fruit is called love. All right? It's in Galatians. It says the fruit, one singular, of the Spirit is love. The 9 are all the derivatives of love. Long-suffering. Love suffers long and is kind. So love will suffer and is kind while it's suffering. Some people, they suffer because they can't help it and they are as mean as the devil while they're suffering. Love suffers long and is kind while it's suffering. Are you okay? So he talks about love, and then he comes down to chapter 14, and he said the same thing about the two things we just said. He said, pursue love and desire. Same thing. How do you get the gifts you desire? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may prophesy. Now, most of us, especially that you will raise the dead. What are you going to do with the dead when you raise them? I don't know why people think that, if you empty Adam Oho, what are you going to do after that? So Paul said to the king, he said, Agrippa, why do you think that raising the dead is so magnificent to God? See, sometimes we want to raise the dead not because we're spiritual. We want to raise the dead because we're fleshly. Everybody's going to die. So why bring them back to life? If I die and you come pray for me, get me back to life, I'll smack you in the face. The day of death is better than the day of your birth. The house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. Because when you go to the house of mourning, your countenance is made better. So don't raise me from the dead when I die. I'll smack you. I'm going home. If you ever see heaven, you wouldn't want to stay here. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two things. I want to depart and to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Yet, nevertheless, to stay here in my flesh is more needful for you so that I can teach the church. But he said, I want to go. It's far better to go. Down here, you get sick, you get cold. You're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to butter the one side of the bread. When you get to heaven, the gold that you're looking for, that's bitumen in heaven. The streets in heaven are made of gold. You're looking for it here. That star seal in heaven. Hello? There's no sickness there. There's no poverty there. Everything in heaven is excellent. Raising the dead. Bless the Lord. One day, all of us are going to be raised from the dead. All right? And that would be good. Be good for some of you, because some of you are bald right now. And I'm losing my hair. And that Gary Stevens gives me a hard time. And Joy Stevenson. Don't worry about it, Lily. In a few years' time, there'll be nothing left. None of your hair will perish. None of your hair will perish. I don't care if it fell off in Samoa or fell off in Timbuktu. None of your hair will perish. God numbers all your hairs. He does not only know the numerical number of your hair, but every single strand is numbered by God. This is number one. This is number 57. This is number and none of them will perish. Are you all right? How did I get there? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when do you pray people back from the dead? When they haven't done their lot. All right? But when they've done their lot, all right? We got a gentleman in the church some years back. He died at 104. And by the time he was 86, he said, I want to go home. It was the same thing that Paul had. I want to go home. He died at 104 and was a great man. Loved the Lord with all of his heart. But he says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy. And then he gives the reason why. He said, because when you prophesy, you edify the church. You edify the church. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks for edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So when you prophesy, you're speaking to the church. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. The Bible then says, when you speak in tongues, you are actually edifying your own self. But when you prophesy, you edify the lot. So Paul said, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is you pray in the Spirit and you pray in your understanding. You sing in the Spirit and sing in your understanding. Why? Because it encourages the church. Karina often prophesies in her singing. What she does in her singing is he edifies, exhort, and comfort. So every now and again, she'll break out in the song of the Lord. And a lot of, well, that's nice, but you know you can't make that up. It comes by inspiration. And so when she sings, I look, oh, that's beautiful. Amen. But I can't sing. Well, I can, but maybe not as good as the students that I have. All right, so I teach music, and some of my best students now just sing, and I just preach, and they sing. If you believe what I just said, there's something wrong with your head. Go and have a cup of tea.